This is Marketplace from APM. I'm Kai Rizdal. We were talking yesterday about some of the issues being raised around bail, specifically around cash bail and low-income people accused of minor offenses. At least 10 class action lawsuits have been filed in the past 2 years challenging the practice. The U.S. Department of Justice now argues that fixed cash bail for impoverished people is unconstitutional. There are alternatives out there to using money bail, though, as Marketplace's Bree Benishore reports in this second of two stories.
In most of the country, if you're arrested for something, there's a chance you'll be asked to pay money bail to get out of jail until your court date. Estimates vary, but tens and possibly hundreds of thousands of people end up staying in jail only because they can't afford bail.
Here in D.C., we do not use money in terms of setting conditions of release.
Cliff Keenan is head of the Washington, D.C. Pretrial Services Agency. He says nobody who's in jail in Washington is there because they can't afford bail.
Income has absolutely nothing to do with it. We have a scientifically validated risk assessment instrument.
When someone is arrested, they're given a score of how likely they are to show up to their court date and how likely they are to get in trouble again if they're released.
A risk score.
It's based on 70 different inputs.
Such as number of prior warrants that may have been issued, prior criminal history, ties to the community, et cetera, et cetera.
So when someone's arrested, that's what helps determine if they're free to go or are kept in jail.
Our computer system actually has the algorithms running in the background. So our data set will go ahead and calculate what that score is, and that score, in fact, will generate the recommendations that we're providing to the judge and the prosecutor and the defense attorney.
Keenan says around 90% of people end up being released, often with some kind of supervision. And he says the computer programs that predict who will show up at court are pretty accurate.
Almost 90% of our persons who are on pretrial release make it back for all of their court appearances. We also find that about 89% remain arrest-free. And of those who are arrested, only about 1% are charged with a violent crime.
But the algorithms are one place where this approach gets criticized.
The risk is that the algorithms often incorporate data that may perpetuate racial biases in the criminal justice system.
Joshua Norkin is a staff attorney with the Legal Aid Society of New York.
For example, we know that black and white people use drugs at roughly the same rate, yet black people are three times roughly more likely to be arrested for the same crime than white people.
To the extent that biased data is fed into an algorithm, it might disadvantage blacks, says Norkin.
I think it's a legitimate concern.
Keeduk Lee is a researcher at the Urban Institute. He helped D.C. develop its pretrial services risk assessment tool. He says algorithms, or actuarial tools, as he calls them, aren't infallible, but they're much better than humans.
We cannot control what other irrelevant factors, such as race, might influence their decision-making the same way we can control it in an actuarial decision-making tools.
Another point of contention in D.C.'s system is that the majority of people who are released from jail have to submit to some kind of supervision. And this could range from just checking in to drug testing to a GPS ankle bracelet.
It extracts punishment before adjudication.
David Feige chairs the Bronx Freedom Fund. It's a charity that posts bail for people in the Bronx who can't afford it.
That is to say, it makes you do all these things that feel like probation on cases where, A, you may not even be guilty, and B, even if you were guilty, you might not be subject to any of these things.
Defenders of D.C. system say people considered to be low risk aren't placed under any supervision outside a reminder to come to court. Supervision is a compromise, they argue, and a judge ultimately makes the decision. Finally, they point out that in D.C., it's at least 10 times cheaper to supervise someone than to incarcerate them. One group that remains opposed to D.C. system is the money bail industry itself.
Bail promotes liberty. And there's accountability, and there's due process.
Jeff Clayton is policy director of the American Bail Coalition, a trade group representing bail bondsmen. He says with money bail, the community at least has a way to contest the decision of a judge to detain someone.
It's those instances where the government needs to be challenged and not lock somebody up and throw away the key.
No state has fully adopted D.C.'s cashless bail system, but there is a growing unease with money bail in many jurisdictions. Kentucky, Colorado, and New Jersey discourage the use of cash bail for low-risk defendants, and many more states are still grappling with the issue ultimately at the bottom of this, what to do about low-income people stuck in jail because they are poor. In New York, I'm Sabri Benishore for Marketplace.